Happy New Year and welcome back to 9 to 5 Mom with the Pod. I am your host, Francesca, and today we're talking about something a lot of us are living in real time, the non-linear career paths. I'm joined by Sienna Dean, a purpose-driven leader in learning and development who helps people connect the dots in their careers so their stories actually make sense. In this episode, we basically break down why the old, quote, one straight ladder, unquote, career plan is outdated, what it really looks like to pivot with purpose, and how to stay grounded when your path feels a little bit messy. If you've been feeling pulled towards something different, but you're scared to take that leap, this one's for you. Let's get into it.
We have that overwhelming desire, but after our first, we knew we wanted to take at least like a 7-year break. That did not happen. But, you know, life works out the way
that's
it does.
That's the topic anyway. Nothing ever goes as planned. It's never linear. It's non-traditional.
Which, Ryan, ties back into what we're talking about today.
It's so crazy because, you know, now jumping into what we were going to talk about, we decided to talk today about non-linear careers, right? And it's so crazy because it goes... Same goes with motherhood. Like, whole dynamic of life has completely changed. So I read this article in Fisher Phillips that it was talking about the traditional idea of a linear career, right? Like, I'm a millennial, so I grew up on the idea that my parents were, hey, you have to go to school, you have to graduate, then you get a 9-to-5, you climb that corporate ladder, and you retire and have family, you know, you have in between, there's family, kids, and all these things, and then you retire. But in this article from Fisher Phillips, it talks about how all of that is getting outdated, like it's becoming an outdated thought. So I feel like in today's workforce, everything moves between roles, right? It moves between roles, it moves between industry. Now we have different work styles, especially after the pandemic. And it's all frequently due to that remote work, shifting personal priorities, caregiving responsibilities have become different. And the economic change also has sort of kind of like put a little dent into our society. So now people are thinking of other ways, of additional ways of how to make income and not necessarily have a 9-to-5.
Of course.
And this is why I brought you, because this is exactly what you help people do, connecting the dots, right? So I guess, how would you describe your career journey and what does a non-linear career really mean to you personally?
Yeah. And I just want to start out by saying thank you so much for having me. I love this topic. You know, of course, it's the work that I do, but it is the space that the world is moving towards. So as the more I can help people navigate this new normal, the better. And so I'll actually start with the latter part of that question of a nonlinear career, to your point, is anything that breaks that tradition, right? So historically, you graduate, you pick a company, and you grow within that company. You are there for 20 plus years. Then it kind of shifted a little where you pick an industry and you're in that industry for, you know, 20 plus years until you retire. Anything outside of that was considered nonlinear. So say you, instead of picking an industry, pick a focus. So you're in marketing, but you're in varying industries, that can still seem nonlinear, right? Because marketing for car sales versus like hospital sales, you have to kind of explain why that makes sense and how the transferable skill sets. And then also doing anything outside of work was considered nonlinear, or taking too long of a sabbatical. So often you're taught after school, you had to jump into your career because if you had too much of a gap, you would have to explain it, right? Mm-hmm. And so after, you would find after 6 months, you were considered, like, even if you were staying in the same industry, even in the same company, you had to justify why you were making that change. And then also if you did anything outside of work. So say you're staying at the same company or you're staying in the same industry, but you have a side business. We are still in that space where you have to declare any side thing that you're working on. And there's still this, I don't know, this taboo around like, well, how could there be, how could you want to do anything outside of your 9 to 5? But on the flip side, which you talked about, you know, is this the new normal? And also you'll find that more companies are seeking nonlinear paths because you bring such a variety of skill sets. So we'll talk about how to use your story to actually be an asset for where the world is going today. But to jump back to how my story I knew would be nonlinear from a very early stage, because I knew I would be driven by purpose. And at the time when I first started, I knew I wanted to make the world a better place. As cliche as that might sound, that was my mission. So I went to any and every industry that would allow me to do that, from like early childhood education to clean energy, to professional development, wherever I thought I could have the most impact. And so from the outside looking in, it seemed that this girl is all over the place. But for me, I knew I was centered on what was driving me and picking up skills that were necessary to figure out, okay, I know I want to make the world a better place, but where is my particular lane in order to do that? And so in knowing that understanding, to the outside world, it seemed nonlinear, but to me, I was always driven by purpose. And that is what allowed me to be able to explain my career path.
It's interesting, right? Mm-hmm. That visually, because we're all visual creatures, visually, we're always thinking, well, our resume should look like this, right? Yes. Like, for example, my prior life, right, which I still love, I was a paralegal. But thinking back on that, right, like when you're sending your resume to a law firm, let's say, right, you want to show that you've been a paralegal your whole career. Would it look great if you were to say, well, I was accounts payable at this place, and then I was a receptionist at this place, but then I was also marketing at this other company? Yeah. Do you think that's a struggle that people will have to explain in their story? I don't want people to feel discouraged, or women especially when we're talking about gaps, right? Because you know, you're going out on maternity leave, and sometimes you want to stay home the whole year to raise your baby, especially first-time moms. That's very, very common. And then when you have to go and apply for jobs, I want to explain and reiterate that I don't think it's a personally a bad thing to have a gap in your career, and also to have to explain your career story. Does that make sense?
That makes complete sense to me. And unfortunately, it really depends so much of job opportunities really rely on one, the company you're entering into, and then honestly, the person interviewing you. And so something that I have the people I work with do is, if you know who you're interviewing with, take a look at their LinkedIn. Do they have some gaps? Do they have some experiences outside of the norm? And that will allow you to weave your story in a similar connection point, even if it's different things, but you know that there might be more susceptible to a nonlinear career path, where it says, you know, you might have, this person might have a side business. Figure out how you can tie the skill sets necessary to have a side business into whatever your nonlinear story is as well. And actually, to that, staying on that through point is, you know, to your point, you did marketing, you did different parts of a business. They are real, you know, that would be a great conversation to weave into someone that has a 9-to-5, because they're likely doing all of that for their own business. So they know the importance, and they likely use that skill set in their day-to-day work and their 9-to-5 work. So I ask, you know, those that I work with, take a look at the people you're interviewing with, take a look, you know, pay attention to the culture. Is it a space where they desire innovation? those are also more likely to be places where they celebrate the nonlinear versus if they say, you know, we are by the book, we are about the culture. We are, you know, you can start to pick up on if it's a right space for you based on the language one the organization uses and then the people they hire, right? So even if they say they desire innovation, but everyone in that organization has only been in that space, has only been with that company, you might find that it's not a good fit. But I'm all about giving people agency. So even if that's not a good fit, now you know what to look for when you're searching for the next company.
Can you give me an example of what your ideal client would be?
Yeah. So I will talk about my two favorite. And I hope none of my other ones listen to this. It's like, I did not fit into this box. But the first would be someone also driven by purpose, because I find that purpose gives you so much of your power back, right? Mm-hmm. So when you know your end goal, it becomes less about the title. It becomes less about, you know, having to work at this shiny company, Fortune 500 company. It's about gaining the skill sets necessary. So they're a lot more flexible in what their journey looks like, because as long as they're continuing to move towards their end goal, they are comfortable in various industries, various spaces. So we get to be very creative. And then on the other hand, would be someone that has extremely nonlinear pathways. And what I love is the side entrepreneur, even if their goal is to become a full-time entrepreneur, because the breadth of experiences entrepreneurship gives you is unmatched, in my opinion. And I'm a little biased because I'm also on that entrepreneurship journey. But it allows you to add so much more richness to whatever role you're currently in, if the organization is willing to accept that, because you're exposed to so many things that people often don't get exposed to until they're in leadership positions, right? Mm-hmm. So when you are actively making decisions that shape how something works, it allows you a certain mindset that prepares you, I feel, a lot better, especially if you're still in early to mid-career. You kind of understand the reasoning behind a lot more things. So those would be my two favorite. One that is like, I know where my goal is outside of this organization. Right. Whatever allows me to get there, I'm game. Great. And then two, someone that has such this wealth of knowledge by doing something on the side that they can then better integrate. Because then even if they want to pivot, if they want to grow, I find you can grow so much faster because you have this such rich set of skill sets on the side that you can weave back into your story.
So it doesn't matter if they have a promotion. Let me see if I understood that right. It doesn't matter if they want a promotion, they have a 9-to-5. They're always coming to you because they're also working on a side hustle.
Yeah. So that isn't the only people that I support, but oftentimes it is we can get so caught up in working on our side hustle that we forget how to best navigate our current 9-to-5 career, like climbing up that ladder, right? So it's like all my energy is focused on making this thing work. And I realize I haven't had a promotion in 4 years. Mm. I need to tap back into that space, that mindset of how do I tell my story again? And the work that I do is how to weave in varying points of their story, not only what they've done in their career, their traditional career, mm-hmm. but how can they weave in what they've done in their side hustle to justify their like ability for that next step in their company.
Give me an example, like how would you intake me, I guess? What would my intake be like for you? And what category would I even fall into?
If you could give me a little context, then I can.
Sure. So let's say I'm a 9-to-5er. I love being a paralegal. That's been my career for the last 10 years. But I'm not sure. I want to do something more than just being stuck in a 9-to-5. I want something you know, maybe started as a side hustle and then eventually turned into a business, but I'm not sure where to go about that.
Okay, love this. Okay, so once you tell me that, where I focus on is that not sure, right? Mm-hmm. And where I like the people that I work with to start is understanding motivations, understanding your feelings, right? So a lot of this is mental, and we'll talk later in our conversation of that unnecessary fear. Well, I don't want to say unnecessary because society will tell you to fear anything that goes outside the norms, but I don't want my clients to internalize that feeling of fear. So I would have you point out, okay, why do you feel like something is missing? What in your current role doesn't allow you to show all of your strengths? And then in that, once we figure out, you know, maybe since right now in the podcasting sense, is you love to be able to communicate with others. And a lot of the work that you do is very independent. And so we would say, okay, excuse me, before we even get to a side hustle, say you don't have one yet, are there opportunities in your current role where you can start to weave in the things that you desire to have a more of a holistic approach? I do this for two reasons. One, it allows you to test out before we take, you know, courageous moves. Is this the right feeling, right? Is this the right gap that you have? Where the sense of like, oftentimes we think, you know, I really want to be doing this, and then we do it and it might not actually scratch that itch. So I always try to have my the people I work with start internally. If you love communicating, are there opportunity stretch projects that you can do in your current role that would allow? And if there are opportunities in your current role, are there ERGs that you can start within your company? Are there things that you can do in your community that are a lower lift to kind of test the waters to say like, okay, I actually really enjoy this. And depending on the schedule in which I'm working with this person, I kind of have them try that for a little while. And they come back to me and say, I love it. This is absolutely what I want to do eventually full time. So then we start looking at how we can incorporate, free up their current work schedule so that they have more time to pursue doing this on a more regular basis. And when I say free up, it doesn't mean necessarily where you're cutting back hours. You're freeing up mental space, right? Because a lot of this is the mental energy necessary to start your own business. So mm-hmm. I would have them figure out, okay, you've been a paralegal now for 10 years. Mm-hmm. You should be really good at figuring out where you can streamline what you're doing in your 9-to-5. What can you operationalize? What can, so that all your energy is, you know, instead of taking up 100% of your mental capacity, it's only taking 60%. Then we can say, you enjoy talking to people. Here are the possible things that you can do on your own to start your own business. So, you know, it's how I move them from a feeling that they're having that something is missing to how do we actually action plan to fill that void. And then once that void is being met, we figure out how do we start to expand so that void becomes their like that filled void.
Right.
You know, not, I'm like, the analogy is falling apart, but basically how do they end up turning that to their full-time role?
This thought comes right around the give birth. I can say that because that happened to me too. And I thought I was the only one, but in that feeling of like identity of, right. I used to be this person and I was going to be that. I was going to be that corporate person. I was going to be the executive of this particular company, or I was going to become something else, sort of shattered. I know that we talk about you. There is time in a sense you could free up as much time as you can and maybe operationalize things in your home, maybe make things a little bit easier for you so you're not carrying all of this load. But as a parent, moms and dads, this is a very difficult pill to swallow, because now you get you're wedged in the middle of your identity and whatever force is out there. Now, on right. the positive side, we as a society have already opened that Pandora's box of like, look, you can reinvent yourself. You can have anything, a nonlinear career. You could be an influencer yeah. even, you know what I mean? I get a lot of those on my Build a Brand workshops that I do every month on Eventbrite, where it's my most popular workshop. And it's because they're, a lot of them don't know what to do. They just know that they right. want to do something. So they're not sure what avenue they need to start approaching. They don't know if media is going to be their next goal, or if maybe it's a service business, it's a product. You don't know. And this is why a lot of people and a lot of entrepreneurs, they say to do your 9-to-5 and your side business consecutively right. so that way you can figure those things out. And on the other end, right, yes, it's positive that we found that we are able to do this, but also we're wedged between where is this even for me? Because yeah. entrepreneurship is not for everyone.
For everyone.
Absolutely. I will tell you that right now. I learned that the hard way. It is not for anyone. I am a go-getter. I'm very productive. I'm a great worker. I mean, every boss that I've ever had always says, oh my gosh, I wish I could clone you. That does not mean that it makes me a great entrepreneur. So I don't want to pop any bubbles out there on the start of 2026, because this is our first 2026 episode. But I do want to say that started to see if this is something that really aligns with you, with your goals. And I think this is where you're coming from, where you're trying right. to help them figure out, is this even for you?
For you.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's because it might not be. Maybe you Absolutely. Are meant to be a 9-to-5 or forever, but maybe not just in that field. Maybe you should pick another field and or yes. another career. And pivots are fine. Pivots mm-hmm. are normal. It's crazy that pivots are normal today, because when I talk to my mom, and I think I've mentioned this before, my mom is, you know, she grew up in that era of like, you don't quit a company. Yeah. Okay. No. Like every
you
time.
You are a lifer.
Yeah. No so. What? And I think yeah. this also came with my identity of working long term with companies. It's a good thing, but also, you know, you kind of want to experience other places. You want to work in other locations, what that culture is like. You want to expand a little bit, you know, in your 9-to-5, because I felt the same. And I had this conversation with my mom when I said, oh, I'm moving from one firm to another firm because they're offering me better opportunities, a better, you know, salary. I mean, I got paid very well. No complaints there. And she freaked out. She's like, oh my God. She goes, you're quitting your job? And I was like, no, I'm getting another one. It's better. It's another law firm. But for her, I was speaking to her in another language. And
I would,
you know,
I love the story. It is so much to moving away from companies used to have all of the power. And that's the mindset that we just absorbed.
Yes.
Like you, no matter how you're treated, no matter what you're paid, you must stay. Yeah. And that loyalty. But you often realize it was not back and forth. Like that ended a lot sooner. You know, the days in which companies were giving their employees cars or watches or whatever just yeah. to show their appreciation are far gone, yet we are still holding on to that mentality yeah. of loyalty no matter what. So I just wanted to point that out.
No, that's great.
It's a part of that shift that is starting to happen. And I think, you know, really this bubble burst during the pandemic mm-hmm. where we saw this mass layoffs and we were like, but my boss loves me, but my right. company said I was doing the best. And people started to realize it really didn't matter no. how amazing they were. At the end of the day, it's the bottom line. And so it starts to make you shift where it was like, wait, I have to look out for me. Like where does my happiness actually come from if I'm not looking at it through the lens of just my employment?
Right.
And I think also for the faults with social media, what it does well is that exposure to the global you know, society, where you're seeing in other countries, it's not like that. It's very much so like, you know, how in the US, the first thing you say when you meet someone, like, hi, I do this, and versus like in other countries where they actually explain who they are. Mm-hmm. And so people are going through that process of realizing who are they outside of putting so much of their identity into these organizations.
There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure. I will tell you that. And if you look at my resume on the surface, like if I give you my life, not my career one, I have a career resume. I'm talking about my life resume. It looks kind of crazy. This is crazy. I mean, I started at a McDonald's and then I went and got hired by a talent agency, random. And then, and this was in Florida. And then after that, I worked for a cigar company. I know. And then I started as a receptionist and then I ended up being a accounts receivable person. And no, was it payable? No, sorry. It was accounts payable. And then after that, I went and I worked for the Department of Homeland Security. And then...
I'm loving this, though, by the way.
I know. And then right after that, I went and I moved to California where I realized that I wanted to do something more. So then I said, oh, maybe I'll try this talent agent thing. I didn't like it. Didn't work out. Then I shifted and pivoted and I said, you know what? I love contracts. I love law. I've always had like that desire for it. So I'm just going to stick to being a paralegal. And then I said, great. I found the law firm, my culture, my community, my career. I was like, I love it here. This is great. I'm really good at it. And I love it. Double whammy. And I got paid well, triple. Right. Yes. And then I had my daughter and it just boom. It hit me. I was like, I don't want to be reduced to this. But it was random. It wasn't like I woke up one day and I was like, well, I want to be a podcaster. I had no idea what, I didn't know what equipment to buy. I had no clue where I was going to be. I didn't know if I was going to be a solo or whatever. Like all the logistics were not figured out. And then a lot of people ask me this. Well, how did you get from like being a paralegal to being a podcaster, like a media in media? And I was like, well, you know, that's an accident. That was a happy accident. So you know,
honestly though, the more when I work with people, you realize that your story was unfolding to this path.
Yes.
And that's where I keep throwing in this, you know, word purpose, where we are naturally pulled in certain directions.
Yes.
And you will find, you know, once you pull away the role itself, but the things you naturally enjoy doing, you see that through line where it's like, oh, I always enjoyed, and it can be varying aspects of what you do now, but you find those gems of saying like, oh, I was happy when I did this. I you know, found peace when I did this. And so that's where I have, and it's about to our previous point we were talking about, it's reclaiming your energy and your purpose and your, you know, your, I can't think of the right word right now. But what I'm trying to drive to is you only have one life.
Yeah.
And the times of living it for an organization are over and nothing, I think, in my personal experience, has made that more clear than becoming a mom.
Right.
When I literally see this life that is now my like job to shape.
Just,
right?
You're like, oh, and you're just, right? What? And what is that?
So many things in perspective, right? Where it's like, if something so miraculous you are now responsible for.
Yes.
It makes other things that weren't as significant as you once thought they were. Because I was the same exact way. I was the one, I was like, I'm not having kids until I hit this age. Even once I found out I was expecting, I was like, I just need 2 weeks. 2 weeks and I'm back. And I'm talking to my HR and they're like, and they're all moms already. And they're like, really, Sienna? And I'm like, no, it's
fine.
We'll
be back in 3 days. I'll be okay in 3 days. Like,
I'll be fine in 3 days, right?
I used to think that too.
I'm like, my mom will be in town. She'll take care of the baby. And this thing happened. Right? Like, just such a disconnect, right? Because we are taught that our purpose lies in career.
Yes. And that's brand new, by the way. Mm-hmm. That's a brand new thought, a brand new identity. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, I think when we get back to doing something so innate, so personal, so uniquely, you know, in the human experience of having a child, and even my husband, he was like, you know, he didn't go through the actually bringing the child into the world, but he was always like, if I was a workaholic, he just equaled work. Like, he worked from sun up to sundown. He was always the last to clock out, first to clock in. And it wasn't until he became a dad where he was like, why do I do this? Like, why am I giving so much of myself, my health to what? Like, you can't even, you know, we lose track of what even the reasoning is, other than that's what we've been conditioned to. And that also has led me to realize, like, this system is broken. Because so many of us are just waiting for retirement, and we are losing the best part of our years.
It's sad, and too.
It's not until you get the diverse experiences where you actually realize where you're heading.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, I tell people to embrace it, because one, when you land where you're supposed to be, you'll be that much more prepared to actually do it, because you're able to tie in all these different aspects of the things that you've done before. Right. And your picture will be way more complete versus someone that has been doing the same thing for the rest of their lives. And that's not to knock it, but it, you know, oftentimes it really shapes their viewpoint, where anything outside of that, and we live in such a time of innovation that is challenging when you only can think one way.
Yeah.
You've only done the same thing, or that, you know, you operate in the same line for the past 20 years. And now they're telling you, they throw something new at you, and you're just like, I don't compute. And that's why you're finding a lot of the older people that I work with, and even my family members, when this whole AI bubble like started, they were so overwhelmed, because they have been doing such like the same thing for so long that anything new disrupted how their brain worked at this point, because they weren't constantly feeding in new information and trying new things, that when now organizations like, you have to make this work. You know, when they're like, you didn't expect that of me until now, and now I'm older and my brain's a little slower, and it's not fair. And honestly, it's not, but it's where our society is heading. And so,
people should navigate that? Like, how do you think people should navigate like that uncertainty or that fear? Because that's a big thing. That's a big one.
It is. It is. It really is. And I think, you know, where I have many of the people that I work with, and even my family, start is starting with things that seem a little less scary, right? And so if this is so brand new, like, I still remember when I taught my grandmother to text. I've never seen such, like, the wires were smoking. And I was like, oh, okay. So technology, for people that haven't been exposed to that, can feel extremely overwhelming. But I'm like, what's something that you've thought about, you know, you have skill set adjacent to it, but, you know, you weren't bold enough to take that leap. Try it out and keep adding those things, so that you're becoming more comfortable with fear, right? Your body is becoming more comfortable to stretching, because that's what a nonlinear path allows us to do. We're constantly stretching, constantly staying nimble. So if you haven't done that a while, don't jump off the cliff, right? And start with something extremely intimidating, but start taking smaller steps outside the box until really what I think prepares you for these things is becoming comfortable with the uncomfortable. And so once you are a little bit more comfortable, then you can take on the challenge, and you find that your brain is more willing to absorb. And even like it doesn't shut down automatically because it's saying, you know, right now, many of them, their brain is like something new is bad.
Oh, that's everywhere. I mean,
yes.
I'm still uncomfortable, and I've been running this for almost a year, and I don't even think I ever will feel comfortable ever, because once I have like one goal, I want the next goal. Like my biggest fear is in the beginning was the starting over. In reality, my nothing perception of it to enter 2026, who fucking cares?
Right. Way better than I could have summed it up.
Sorry. Just said it. Listen, and the only reason I say that is because my mother-in-law is at a nursing home and she got dementia very early. She got dementia, it started at 65, and then by 70, she didn't remember who any of us were. And every time I go visit her at the nursing home, I see everybody else like her. And I'm always like, you know what? Fuck it. If I'm going to end up here anyway, I want to babble about all the stupid shit I did.
That I live life. I'm like, well, I have a story for you. I might not remember all the details.
But I want to tell my neighbor, whoever my roommate is going to be, I want to say, hey, you know what? I had a podcast.
Yep.
I did it.
Honestly, love the message. And it's how
we should close right there.
Right. I'm like closing point.
I don't know. Done.
But taking those risks, honestly, just to weave back into, you know, I have people operating in life stories, to your point now. Yeah. Like it's less about that career. The more risk that I take since becoming an entrepreneur, the better I show up in other parts of my life, right? Yeah. So I'm able to take risks outside of work. I'm able to take risks with my children. I'm more confident in becoming a parent because I know I'm like, okay, I broke this, but it survived, right?
Yeah.
And like, where are the other places that I can break things and it works out for the better, right? Because it's just all stories. And so often we wait to live our life, right? And that was that earlier point where people are just waiting to retire. But the best parts or the where you have the most energy, that time is being wasted. So take risks. Take, you know, do the unreasonable thing. Because it'll allow you to become comfortable in like owning that power again, claiming your space, and you know, stop being it. You're no longer so rigid of saying, okay, I can only do this.
Right.
And when you open your mind up to other possibilities, then you have a lot more control in what you do next and what your career looks like.
That's true. And nothing has to be a straight line. Nothing I've ever done, and I don't think that I will ever do, will be a straight line. Like, I can't, at the end of the day, tell you what your story is going to be. Right. I can't. That's you. You know that. The only thing I can tell you is if you have something that you want to do, do it.
Do it. Yeah. And don't let anyone else own your story.
That's it. Yeah. 100%. Don't let anybody else own that story. That's your story.
So interesting. I was thinking in preparation for this call, in that feeling, I throw myself into so much craziness that I'm sometimes I'm not even sure what fear looks like.
Yeah.
All my fear now comes through like my children. Like I'm that mom that like I'm constantly watching my son like, oh my God, please like just survive.
I just need them to survive the next 18 years.
Right.
You know.
But for me, that's it. I'm like, I will, any of the crazy.
Don't
like,
get a gash in your head. Are you tripping, falling, running, like anything that they do, and high anxiety,
extreme. So high I'm anxiety. Like, if I can survive, like that's where my, all my fear operates. Like even the other last night, my son fell and just missed like something that would have, and he just jumps back up and I'm like, you don't know. You just took years off my life. Like,
I felt that. But he also taught you a lesson. He also taught you a lesson.
Yeah.
He fell, but he got right back up. He like nothing right happened. And that's actually, why children will humble you.
They really will. And they'll show you how to live. Yeah. And that's actually why, like, I focus on early, you know, on my business is focused on early childhood development, because we are born with the tools necessary. It's just, how do we refine them, right? And how do we figure out how to show up in that power? Because if you talk to a kid, they are the most confident beings you'll ever.
I'm amazed. Sometimes I look at my daughter, I'm like, oh my, look at that. Sometimes whenever you feel that feeling, when it's like, I didn't know your daughter could do that. I'm like, me neither. That was a shock.
I'm telling you. And it shows how well we are prepared. Like, we lose that confidence. We lose those natural skill sets. Yeah. And, you know, I'm like, it's all about feeding into them.
Yeah.
And that's how we get back to it. You have to start getting comfortable again with falling, right? And getting back up and getting into that childlike being. Yeah. Of saying, like, F it, right? Like, I swear that's how my son walks around. Like, he does something, he's like, eh.
Robert Greene said it best. He calls his latest book Mastery. I haven't read the whole thing yet, but I started reading it. But anyway, the whole point is that mastery, it all starts when you're a child. You already develop your skills as a kid. Absolutely. You just now need to kind of, like, you know, like, harness those gifts, right? Mm-hmm. And understand and know where to pinpoint them, because, you know, life will throw you curveballs, and then you think that passion is not, you won't be able to monetize that passion. But in reality, what you're good at is what you're good at.
Right.
But we are also living in a materialistic world where, like, everything has to be beige. We have to have all these, like, aesthetics in the home. And listen, I have my studio in the middle of my home. Aesthetically, this looks weird. So, but you do what you have to do to make things work.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying. This conversation, that's what I told you in the beginning. I don't know where this conversation is going to go.
But I've loved every minute of it.
So all I'm saying is that. But to wrap up here, I want to have, first I want to say to everyone, Happy New Year. And it was such a pleasure having you, Sienna, on the episode. I do want you to tell people where they can find you, because this was so fun. I love it.
Yeah, I've loved every minute of this. again, Happy New Year, everyone. You can find me on LinkedIn, sienna.dean at LinkedIn. And that's where I'll have all my links to other things. But yeah, that's where I share all my random tidbits. and if you want to connect and talk about that nonlinear path, or you just want a sounding board, or you're a new mom and want, you know, someone to commiserate with, because, you know, I'm about to be back in the trenches. I'm here. So let's connect, and, you know, I'll assist however I can.
Guys, connect with Sienna. I'm going to leave all of the links in the show notes below. Anyways, thank you all for listening and tuning in, and I will see you on next time. Happy New Year, everybody.
Bye, everyone.